Good morning, my friends, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. I've decided I just want to be a little closer to everybody this morning. It's been a very difficult week for our community, for our world, and I'm glad to be here with you to worship God and to stay grounded in the love and peace of God together. I have a little bit to say about some of the work we're trying to do in tornado relief. But before I do that, I just want to invite everyone who's here to register in the registration pads that are at the end of each row, and to welcome those of you who are visiting with us. We're very glad that you're here, and we hope that all of us present feel the love and peace of Christ and perhaps even have a chance to meet someone new this morning. Later this afternoon at 4:30, our chancel choir will be leading us in a time of music and worship, and we want to be here to support them and also to keep them in our prayers this week. They'll be leaving later in the week to go to Mobile for the Association of Choral Directors. I'm not sure I got that name quite right, but it's a real honor for a choir to be invited to sing to this group, and it's a dream that we've had for a long time. So let's be in prayer for them, as we know they will bring glory to God in all that they do and in their music this week down in Mobile. I want to encourage you, there is information in our insert this morning, but to stay up to date on the website and through emails, to be aware of ways that we can be helping our community to rebuild. Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye has done an amazing job being on the front lines and helping us stay abreast of what the needs are, what the needs aren't, and how we can best be of assistance to our neighbors in Nashville. And so there'll be new updates from there and links that you can go to go to work, to donate, all sorts of opportunities to help in our community. We're especially mindful this morning of our siblings at East End, at Braden, and at Dodson Chapel United Methodist Churches, who are not able to worship in their sanctuaries this morning. And so our hearts are with them in worship together as we worship in this space. We also are aware of a lot of anxiety and fear around the coronavirus and the potential that could hit our community. And we're doing all that we can. The staff is meeting early next week to talk about preparedness and things that we can do to make sure and keep everybody healthy and safe. But just a reminder, during the passing of the peace, we will just nod to one another or elbow bump, if you would like to do that, out of respect for folks who would rather not shake hands. And just a little tip. Last week we talked about the Lord's Prayer. It takes about 20 seconds to pray the Lord's Prayer. So you can pray the Lord's Prayer as you wash your hands and know that you will have done it for the right amount of time. And another opportunity to pray that beautiful prayer. In the midst of all of the bad news we've had this week, I want to celebrate some really good news. Both Reverend Brandon Baxter and Reverend Maggie Jarrell were approved by the Board of Ordained Ministry for final ordination. So, yay! We celebrate with them. And they will be ordained at annual conference in June, and we want to celebrate and be on that journey with them. We're so grateful to have them both. Finally, today is Daffodil Day. This is a wonderful tradition of our congregation. The Congregational Care Committee puts together daffodils and vases, and they have names and addresses of people in the church who are not able physically to be present with us, but we want to take these daffodils out to them as a way of reminding them that they are loved and remembered by our congregation. So if you want to stop by the gymnasium on your way out and pick up a vase or two and deliver that this afternoon, that would bring great joy to a lot of our folks. And now I want to invite our Guatemala mission team to come forward. We have a group of folks who are leaving this week to fly down to Guatemala to be in mission there. This is a ministry that West End has been part of for many years, and these wonderful folks have answered the call to go down and work alongside the folks there. We had a fuller group at 8:45, so they must be eating brunch or something, I don't know. But these friends are ones who are giving up their time, giving of their talents to go and be in ministry down in Guatemala. And we as a congregation are praying for them and commissioning them this morning to send them forth in the name of Christ and in the name of the church. all of them are not here right now, but their names are Lisa, Mike, Rob, Doug, Mary Lee, Pat, Emily, Caroline, Stacy, Lissa, Jill, Linda, Sarah, and Casey. So please be in prayer for these friends this week. We rejoice that you have resolved in your hearts to give of your time and your energy for this week with the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya. Your labor will take you to the people of Guatemala, and they will also be in mission with you, as they likewise share their faith with you. You go as pilgrims to see where God is at work there and to join in the work that God is already doing. Through word and deeds, you testify to the infinite love of God. Such a task confers a great privilege and a solemn responsibility. And so I ask, will you earnestly seek to carry forward this ministry in the spirit of Christ, in cooperation with your team members and your leader, and with respect for national church officials and local hosts? If so, will you say, I will with the help of God? And now if you'll kneel at the altar rails, I invite all of us to join together in the prayer that's printed in your bulletin. Almighty God, whose love for the whole family of humankind has been made known to us through Jesus, send your blessing upon these, your servants, soon to go forth to join you in mission with the people of Guatemala. Grant that they be guided and strengthened for their task, that they be open to new truths and insights from their hosts, and that they be given good health and traveling mercies, to the end that your name may be glorified in all the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you all for going on our behalf. And now let us continue in a spirit of worship as we lean in once again to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and see what he has to say to us to shape our lives as disciples.
Thank you. Come, let us worship God, who calls us to a holy fast. Come, let us worship God, who calls us to sacrifice in secret. Come, let us worship God, who invites us to store our treasures in heaven. Come, let us worship God. As we worship, we are invited to acknowledge the ways in which we have fallen short of the call of God. Let us make this confession together. Merciful God, we confess that we have made a show of our faith. We have put ourselves on display so that others might look at us and admire our piety. We have been overwhelmed by greed. We have put our trust in our earthly possessions rather than storing up treasures in heaven. We have fallen short of the call to love you, Lord, and to love our neighbors. Forgive us, have mercy on us, show us the better way. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And as we may need to, you can bump elbows, you can do, I'd like to invite you to do jazz hands or a peace symbol, but the peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us pray together the Lenten prayer for illumination. O God, we offer all of our preconceptions about this scripture, all of our safe, familiar interpretations, to the flame of your refining fire. Turn them into ashes and let new meaning rise like the sun at the dawn of a new day. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. If you would like to follow along, please turn to page 787 in your pew Bible. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal, like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is your darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The word of God for the people of God.
To be seated, and the other kids who want to come forward, come on down. I think we have some kids on a retreat this weekend with their parents, but I am so glad that you're here. So I know we all know what the word fast means, right? It means speedy. You run fast. Oh, I think it means something else. Your brother read something a minute ago that Jesus said, and he used the word fast, but it didn't mean speedy. It meant something totally different. So what Jesus was talking about was a fast. When you fast, you give up something for a little while. Most of the time, it's food. And there were people in Jesus' day and people today who might give up eating for a whole day. Can you imagine? That would be really hard. I'm not sure I could do that. But they would do that to remind themselves that of their hunger for God, that God was even more important than food. So they would fast and pray and fast and pray. Now, sometimes we can do that too, maybe in a different way. Since y'all are still growing, you need all your food. But maybe there are some things that you could give up to help you think about God a little bit more. Like, for example, at night, sometimes I like to eat a cup of ice cream. I don't really need that for health. So maybe I could give up that cup of ice cream. And instead of sitting there eating ice cream, I could sit and pray and think about God. And I can pray for people who don't have good things like ice cream and who might be hungry when they go to bed. Or maybe you could give up your favorite video game for a day or for a week or even for the whole 6 weeks of Lent, getting ready for Easter. And every time you think about how much you want to play that video game, you can think about God and pray instead. So I'm going to encourage you and everybody here this morning to think about maybe something we can give up just for a day, maybe for a week, or maybe throughout the season of Lent to help us think more about God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we know that we have many blessings, and we want always to be grateful to you. We want to be able to think of you every day, to pray to you, and to love you and trust you. If there's something we can give up, maybe for a day or a week or a month, that would help us remember you and remember other people, show us what to do and what you want us to do. Thank you so much for Jesus and his teachings. We want to be like him. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. I have to confess that I wrestled with God a little bit this week. We're in this sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm very dedicated to it, and I want us to continue making our way slowly through these teachings of Jesus, especially during the season of Lent. The reading that was for us today was all about fasting. Intentional self-denial, giving up something in order to pray more deeply or to trust God more fully. But yesterday, as I was on this civil rights tour with some of the folks from our church and two other churches, we drove through Rosa Parks, and I saw the destruction in North Nashville. And I thought about all of the people who are digging out of that destruction, and our friends at East End who are worshiping in a park next to their church, and because they can't go into the sanctuary that is just as precious to them as ours is to us. And my heart has been breaking all week for these friends and neighbors. And I know some of you have been affected by these storms. Some of you still don't have power and are displaced. We have a church member whose house was lifted up and moved 6 feet from its foundation. We have people whose businesses have been destroyed. Our community is in pain. And I found myself asking God, is this really the Sunday to talk about fasting? Is there anything in this text of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we need to hear this morning? I feel like we need to hear instead the Psalms of God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We do need comfort this morning. We need one another. We need the presence of God. We need a word from God. And yet, as I wrestled with that this week, I think God kept bringing me back to these teachings of Jesus about fasting and the Sermon on the Mount. And so I'm moving ahead with it, and my prayer is that either through this sermon or in spite of me and this sermon, that you hear the word from God that you need this morning, wherever you find yourself this week. Jesus is speaking to these disciples, and in this sixth chapter, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about these practices of piety, these practices of the faith that we as Jesus followers are meant to participate in on a daily, regular basis. They're supposed to be the stuff of our lives as disciples: prayer, giving, and fasting. He says, when you fast, not if you fast. Fasting was an important spiritual practice for the Jews in Jesus' day and for the early Christians who grew out of that movement. The early Christians fasted 2 days a week, from sundown one day until sundown the next day. They would give up food as a way of showing their humility to God, as a way of saying to God and to themselves, there is nothing more important in my life than God. God is more necessary to me than food, than breathing itself. My life comes from God and God alone. We remember that moment when Jesus had been fasting in the wilderness and was tempted to turn the stones into bread, and he said, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so fasting was a way to practice that kind of trust and dependence, to reorient life where God is at the center. And in the rest of this passage, Jesus talks about why we need practices like this, because it is so easy for us to be drawn away from God by the things of this world. He talks specifically about possessions and wealth. It's a slippery slope. It's a dangerous thing to have money in our hands, because it can so easily become what we depend on and what we find our security in. And so a practice like fasting, where we intentionally deny ourselves something, is a way of saying, I can do without that, but I can't do without God. So the early Jews fasted, the early Christians fasted, the early Methodists fasted. John and Charles Wesley taught the early Methodists to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. In fact, John Wesley would not ordain someone who was not willing to practice a fast. So I don't know if Brandon and Maggie got asked that question at the retreat this weekend, but he would ask, are you willing to fast as a spiritual practice? It was that important to those early Methodists. But somehow in our day, it's not that common of a practice, especially among Protestants. We don't have a regular practice throughout the year of giving up food for a day. And yet in the world we live in, perhaps it's a practice we need to reclaim. We live in a world of instant gratification, where we can make two or three clicks, and within 2 hours, Amazon Prime Now will have it at our door. We have access to all different kinds of food at any time of day. If we have the means to buy it, we can meet our needs and our wants anytime. And so for us intentionally to say no, to deny ourselves, to resist that temptation, is countercultural. And it can help with regular practice, continually to remind us of who is God and who isn't, to keep our treasures in perspective, to keep our hearts aligned with God. But in our day, perhaps there are other ways we could fast. For some of us, fasting from food is not physically or mentally and emotionally healthy for us. But we have all sorts of other things we could give up. for the sake of our relationship with God. As I mentioned to the kids, maybe giving up a video game. Maybe we could give up social media one day a week or for the season of Lent. And when we find ourselves reaching for our phones and wanting to connect on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever it is, it's an invitation to pray, to remember that our identity is not built on how many likes we have or how popular we are on social media, but our identity comes from God and God alone. Maybe, who knows, maybe there's something in your life that is a habit or something you rely on that you can give up for the sake of deepening your relationship with God and offering more time and more of yourself to God. So fasting is one of those ordinary, regular practices that can keep our lives oriented and pointed in God's direction. Sometimes, it's not those regular practices that reorient us. It's something like a tornado that hits our community. And suddenly we see that the things of this world, the buildings and structures and things that we take for granted aren't always permanent. And we realize what really is most important in life, what really matters. I was talking to my friend who's at East End United Methodist Church. And I can't even begin to imagine the grief that they're feeling today. To have lost a space, not just a building, but a space that holds memories, that holds the spirit that they have experienced together as a congregation. And we stand with them in that pain and loss. And at the same time that they're holding that grief and that pain, she said, but you know, as we all work together to clear out the rubble, and I'm sure as we worship on Sunday, we're going to realize that we are the church. That God is with us and God is constant no matter how things change around us. We are the body of Christ. And as we've seen neighbors reach out in love and compassion and the kind of kindness and self-giving that we've seen in our community, we realize that material things come and go, but love and compassion and the presence of God never shake. That foundation never shakes. I never wish this kind of disaster on anybody and on our community. And yet let it remind us of who God is in the midst of trouble, in the midst of pain. Which brings me to another gift that fasting can have for us as we practice it regularly. Fasting can help us be in solidarity with those who are suffering. If we fast for a day, when we feel those hunger pangs, we not only remember our hunger for God, but we remember those who are hungry not by their own choice. And we stand with them in that hunger. When we fast from social media, we can remember and pray for those who feel disconnected and lonely and lost. Fasting is a way for us to stand with those who are in pain. And we can do that in a very concrete way. If you have given something up for Lent, or if you're still thinking about maybe fasting from something, maybe in your fasting you can turn that in to giving. For example, if you have a practice, a habit of getting a mocha frappuccino from Starbucks every morning or a couple of times a week, maybe you could give that up and use the money to send to tornado relief. Or if you have a practice of being on social media an hour a day, maybe you could spend that time in prayer for those suffering from these storms. Or spend a few more hours helping those who need it to clean up and to be restored to their homes. We can turn our fasting into blessing for others. Jesus makes it clear our fasting is never for us. It's not to make us healthier or more beautiful or to impress God and other people. It's for God's sake and for the sake of the world. I want to invite us in the next few moments to spend some time in prayer together. I want to invite you to think about something you might be able to give up, something you can deny yourself, as a way of keeping God at the center of your daily life. Some way that you might even translate that into giving for the benefit of others. I want to invite you to spend some time in prayer for those who are on your heart today, family members, neighbors, members of the community. And I want to open up these altar rails. This feels like a day when we need to do that together. Not everyone will feel led to come forward, but I want you to, if you feel led, to come and offer yourself to God, all your prayers, whatever it is that's on your heart, asking God to reorient all of us, to place our trust in God and God alone, and for God to use us to be God's people in our community. As we come to this time of prayer, I want to share just a couple of concerns and joys. Will Compton is our intern in the missions area, and he was supposed to be leading our prayers of the people today, but he had a car accident yesterday, and he's okay, and everybody's okay, but the doctor did encourage him to stay home. So please be in prayer for Will today as he recovers. We also want to be in prayer for Matt and Janet Harden, who are mourning the death of Matt's mother, Brenda Harden. She passed away on March 1st, and they had a service for her in Cookeville, actually on Thursday. We want to pray also for her grandchildren, Henry, Grace, and Vivian, as they mourn her loss. And then we celebrate this morning the birth of Guinevere Claire Weiss. She was born sometime last night to Vivian and Michael Weiss, and is welcomed by big sister Maggie and brother Peter. I know you have people on your hearts this morning. You have our whole community, our whole state on your hearts. So I invite you to come as you feel led or pray in your pews and bring all of this into the presence of our loving God. Now let us join our hearts together in prayer. Oh God, you are our rock, a very present help in time of trouble. You receive all of these prayers, those we have prayed individually, those we have not even articulated, and these now that we pray together. For those who need comfort this day, may they find it in you. For those who need inspiration and courage to act, may we find it in you. For those who need healing and help, may they find it in you. Turn us again and again and again to you, O God. May our daily practices of prayer and fasting and worship keep us grounded in you. May nothing ever shake our faith and trust in your goodness and love. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus, as together with one heart, we pray the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have seen already this week the difference the church can make, the difference our giving can make. So I invite you to give this day to continue the work of the kingdom in our community and beyond. we go from this place with souls that are stilled, with hearts that are grounded in the goodness and love of God, that God might use us as instruments of God's peace, love, and healing in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our world. Amen.